Somebody say, hell yeah!
What's up?
He's better than Oprah.
Come on, y'all.
This is Sean T, and it's time to trust and believe.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. We're so excited tonight for our family dinner. We're so excited. Today was a really intense day at Let's Get Up rehearsal. And so Danielle Natoni, who is our guest chef for this evening. Come
Hi.
On, have a seat.
Why, thank you.
She was so excited to talk to us tonight, or cook for us tonight, and provide us with our vegan recipe. So Danielle's going to speak to that in a little bit. I have some questions for her. So I'm really excited. But one of the things that obviously we want to do more of is different. I mean, almost everyone has had salmon and sweet potatoes. And, you know, so we want to try to provide you all with recipes that you would never eat. Or even if you are vegan, just something different to really inspire your taste buds. And so one of the reasons why I'm really excited to have Danielle here is because I remember when I was more like vegetarian, vegan, but I was also pescatarian, so I wasn't like this. But I remember I was here in LA, and I was actually driving, and you and Darren called, and I remember that's when you were both thinking about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I decided to, I'm going to say vegetarian, vegan. I'm going to get you to talk about the difference in a second.
Okay.
For those who don't know. But it was around a time where we had kids, and I just, like, nothing was digesting well. I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping great. I just kind of, you know, when you have kids, we're not sleeping and you're tired. And so I felt like when I was eating meat, I was just like stuffing my face. And if I was going to be stuffing my face, I wanted to just, you know, wanted to be more wholesome and just, you know, anything green. That's
yeah.
the kind of way I thought about it.
Yeah.
So that's why I did it. Can you talk about, you know, why you and Darren are now 100% vegan and, you know, just the whole process?
So
I think
I
just wanted to go.
3 years ago, I think we've been vegan 3 years now.
The boys are 3 years old.
Yeah.
Yep.
We used to be super paleo, like big time meat eaters.
Darren used to have, like, he used to order this
pounds,
this burger that looked like a bus steering wheel.
Yeah, we would go to Whole Foods, right? Yeah. We would go to Whole Foods in Vegas. And Darren, one time I went to visit him in Vegas, it's her husband, for those of you who don't know. And he was like, oh my gosh, at Whole Foods, they make these amazing burgers. And he ordered for me, and it was a huge, the burger was as big as this plate that you eat. And he ate like two of them. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Anyway, loved meat.
We both love to read. He's a super researcher. He read the book, The Longevity Diet by Dr. Walter Longo. And then I read it. In that book, the basic gist of it is he studied the world's centenarians, the world's longest living people all over the world. And when you broke it down, the way that those people ate to live and to 100 and beyond was mostly plant-based with a little bit of fish. And he's like, we should try it. So who else is like me and hates fish? No matter who cooks it, it doesn't matter if it is a Michelin, you're my people. Doesn't matter if it's a Michelin, like, five-star restaurant. I do not like it. So I was like, well, I'll just try vegan then because I don't want mealtime to be stressful. And so it was like right before my 40th birthday. So it was like 60 days leading into my 40th birthday. I said, tell you what, why don't we do this? Let's do it till my 40th birthday. And if on my 40th birthday, we hate it, we'll celebrate with a big steak dinner. And if we love it, then we'll love it. And we've never turned back since. And what's great for me is, you know this, I never ate avocado until these two. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So it forced me to
tell the story about it.
Oh, we went to a Mexican restaurant like early on when I first met them, and there was avocado all over the table. They're like, why aren't you eating the avocado? I'm like, oh, I don't like it. And they're like, you don't like avocado? And I'm like, well, I don't think I'd like it. I'm like, it's green and mushy and there's like red things in it. And I don't try things I don't like. And he was like, mm-mm. He was like, you're trying that guacamole. And now I can't imagine
get uncomfortable.
My life without it.
I know.
Yeah. So long story short, vegan it forces me to eat a ton of fruits and vegetables because I'm an actual vegan, meaning I don't eat Beyond Meat. That's processed, right? I might as well have a real burger. I would rather someone eat a real burger versus Beyond Meat. And this vegan versus vegetarian, vegetarians will still do eggs, dairy, honey. So being a vegetarian oftentimes for eating out is much easier than being vegan because like, for example, desserts, you know, a lot of places out make desserts with eggs. So a vegetarian will still do that. But yeah, so that's kind of how we got there. But I love it. I love cooking especially when I'm in my own kitchen. So I really feel like stressed because I'm like, this is not taste the way it really should taste. So everyone has to come out to Casa de Natoni for real vegan food. But for me, being vegan just means, oh, everyone's always like, but what about your protein? Y'all, everything has protein. This asparagus has protein. This arugula has protein. Like, there's actually meat eaters probably over consume protein in any given day. And I know when we were meat eaters, we for sure were over consuming protein.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that was really interesting for Scott and I to see, especially Darren, make this huge change because protein, protein, protein. And a lot of you know, Asylum specifically, I would be eating every 3 hours and every meal had protein. And again, I probably didn't need that much. And so it was just a really interesting thing where now, and this is what I'll say, even though I still eat fish and I still eat chicken and I still eat meat, I think that I now eat the correct amount.
Yeah.
Since Scott and I have really been really focused on cooking. A lot of you know when you have kids and they're super young, you kind of just get done what you need to get done, especially in the early years. So for us, now that the boys are way more independent and we can actually sit down and cook and not have to just like cook easy food, you know? So eating more salads and vegetables and things like that makes me eat less meat. I don't even eat as much and I still feel completely fulfilled. And in the fitness space, you know, I can still lift the same amount of weight that I was lifting when I did Asylum. And I don't lift that much weights. But if I were to go to the gym, I lift the same amount of weight. Like I never really did a lot of bench pressing. You know, 10 years ago was the last time I really focused on that. But I feel like even though I would say I consume more vegetables than I do meat, and I don't feel like I'm missing out on my strength is what I'm saying.
Well, it's interesting. So if you don't know, my husband, Darren, is a pretty muscular guy. You know, I live a very hard life with a very handsome man. he was also interested in that. And so if you don't know him, every day he starts his day with a hang from the bar till failure, till he drops. And he tries to convince me to do that. I'm like, I'm not roughing up my hands like that. If I'm hanging from something, you're probably nearby. You'll pull me up. It'll be okay. And then he does a max set of pull-ups. His pull-up strength, he is stronger now and can do more pull-ups before failure than he did beforehand. And so, you know, everybody has a different approach. And we don't believe that there's one right way to eat. There's just a right way that fits for you. And for us, you know, this is the right way for us. He's still as muscular as ever. We feel our digestion is better. And honestly, it just makes it simple. It's like, okay, we're, you know, we're vegan. And, you know, for us, it works, but, you know, for other people, it doesn't. Or I do think, though, that more people need to try even like a meatless Monday, or if you need a cute little hashtag just to not, I think everyone could do a little bit of more plant eating in general, you know, and not just be like a comfort vegan either, you know, like, oh, today's meatless Monday, so I'm going to have like all this packaged food. And it's like, right. No, just people say, Danielle, what do? I want to start eating plant-based. I'm like, cool, eat plants. You know, and that sounds simple, but it's like, eat more fruits, eat more veggies, eat more salad. Like, and the more you do it, trust me, from the girl who wouldn't eat guacamole because it was green, you'll start to really love the flavors. And just get an air fryer. You can put any vegetable in an air fryer with a little bit of oil and salt and you're good. It makes every vegetable better.
What was it like growing up in your household as a kid when it came to eating breakfast, lunch, dinner, the type of foods? Because I think, you know, transformation is important. You know, we know what you used to eat like as an adult while you were involved in fitness, right? But now it's like, but where did it begin?
Are y'all ready?
Yes.
You're going to die. So I'm an only child, probably not shocking. And an only child knows how to be their own best friend. I could self-entertain like the finest. So if my mom put something on my plate that I did not want to eat, and you know, the thing is like, you're gonna sit there until you eat it. Cool. I sat there all night. I would call her bluff until it was like, finally go to bed. So eventually they just started making me corn. Essentially corn was the only thing that I would eat, like a vegetable wise. So if they had whatever, you know, steak and broccoli, whatever, it was in this little white casserole dish. I can always remember. And there was my side of corn. Because it was like, she didn't want to battle me. Cause it was like, I'll sit here all night. I will make up stories. I will talk to myself, but I'm going to win. So that's literally how I grew up. And well, we ate healthy. I grew up in a very different house. My parents were kind of into fitness. So that kind of eating was, we ate, you know, remember Snackwell's cookies, you know, in the green box. Like we ate like all the low fat sugar, you know. And so I thought that those things were healthy and that I was doing a pretty good job. So in my mind, it's like, okay, I can eat whatever's in my house because it's healthy. It's low fat, low sugar, whatever. And then I would just, you know, and then I was a dancer. And to be fair, it's also why I never really share my full meals or a day of eating on my social. I don't want to say I'm blessed because that sounds snotty, but I do have a good metabolism. Okay. Even if someone ate exactly like me, even as a kid, I've basically been the same size my whole life. And I know that makes me sound like a jerk and I don't mean it that way, but I could eat whatever I want back then. And so I remember my favorite things were, do y'all remember Entenmann's donuts that came like in the white
thing? Don't tell me you used to eat them and didn't gain weight.
You know, so I would mix it with like what I thought was healthy. Entenmann's, whole wheat bagels, you know, wheat thins, you know, all those kind of crazy foods. And corn. A lot of corn.
Well, a lot of corn. You know, in the fitness industry, when it comes to food, we don't hear a lot about someone being like, I was the same size. I have a fast metabolism. And, we talk about you, like you went from fit to fitter. And so I think it's really important because a lot of times the fitness industry is based on weight loss, weight loss, weight loss. So when it comes to guys, it's like muscle gain, muscle gain, muscle gain. But there is... there are people, like I remember, like let's say Darren, for instance, your husband, for him to gain weight, it is extremely hard. Like he has to focus on that. I have to work extremely hard to stay 6 feet, 198 pounds. Like I don't know how much I weigh now because I don't have a scale, but it is, a lot of people don't notice, it is extremely hard for me to stay, to look like what I look like. It is just hard. Like I could gain weight so fast, which is why obviously, you know, I know how to work out hard. But in addition to that, I wouldn't say I'm in a battle with food because I have it under control. But that's why, like for me, it's very important to stay in my nutritional zone. And, you know, I love donuts. I love a good pizza. I love fun foods too. So, you know, I think it's really, I think I love hearing from people like Darren, who I know he had to eat a ton of food to gain weight, or people like you are like, yo, like I'm blessed. And it doesn't matter, just because you are thinner doesn't mean you are as fit. But anyway, I know you want
to say
something.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So yes, I went from fit to fitter aesthetically, but if you lined me up year after year, I essentially look the same, like if you, with some tweaks, but internally, I am hands down healthier, way healthier internally now than I was then. And for me, that's what matters most. And also to your point, I have a daughter who is incredibly thin and struggles, believe it or not, with food obsession, because now she's so focused on, I've got to eat because I'm too thin, and it like has warped with her mind. So like this constant focus also in the industry of like weight loss, weight gain, transformation, like even the body positivity movement, believe it or not, as beautiful as it is, it's actually very harming for her, because she's like, so I'm not real because I don't have, you know, so she actually feels unhappy in her body because she's so thin. So it's just such an interesting mix. And so it's like, if everyone could just like eat real food, food that was meant to fuel you, and like, and focus on how you feel on the inside, then whatever you were meant to look at on the outside will come into play.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so, and usually if someone were to hear somebody like you say that, they were like, well, of course, but like hearing your backstory, you know, it's kind of, you understand. I will say too, just, I want to talk about the body positivity movement because it's so interesting. And I know I talk to a lot of you a lot, so you may have heard me say this before, but I want to talk about it again, if you haven't. Even coming into my new dance program, right? Like, you know, it is, for me, it's a body positivity, body positive environment. We have, and I hate to say this, but you know, I cast it on joy. Like they were like, how are we casting joy? That is 100% how I cast it. And truth be told, you know, it is Beachbody. So they, Beachbody is like, we need aspirational people too, who have like gotten fit from our programs, which I totally understand. You need testimonials from people who are a part of the company. But when we were auditioning, the thing that I looked at most, and obviously Chip was at every single one of them, like for me, it was about joy and connection. And I thought that was really important. But one of the things that was really interesting, even though I was talking about body positivity, is in the beginning, like if you look at the first couple sizzles that we put out, you know, I didn't have my shirt off. And because even in my mind, it was like, oh, well, body positive, like you don't want to like offend someone. And then when we started getting into, when I started rehearsing and getting to the message, I'm like, I'm taking my fucking shirt off too. Sorry, curse for those of you who ain't on Wine Night After Dark. You know, I'm on my fucking, I want to take my shirt off too. Like, I can't be positive just because I have abs, right? Like, you kind of get into this, it's the flip side of, oh, well, I'm too thin. And like, girls now, it's like, oh, the bigger the booty, the better. But what if they don't have the booty, you know, like the curves? And so it becomes this body positive and as great. But then it becomes like, if I'm not a curvy girl, then I can't be a part of the movement. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for me, I was like, I'm taking off. I'm like, listen, I'm going to let y'all see it all. Not all of it. But, you know, I took my shirt off today, which I really wouldn't do. Like, I'm making myself do that just because, you know, just in the sensitive zone. But, you know, for people out there who maybe, like, I want to have meatless Monday, or I want to have vegan Thursday, or whatever the case may be.
I don't know that I like vegan Thursday, but we could roll with it.
Why not?
I'm just kidding.
But I kind of want to know, how do you build a vegan plate? Because I think, you know, we hear, oh, you have avocado, you have, like, veggie. I mean, most people who think vegan, they're like, oh, I got to eat salad.
That's the first thought, is that it's like, oh, like, I'm not going to be, I feel like, there's almost a negative connotation to, oh, I'm going to eat vegetarian today, or, oh, I'm going to eat. Yeah. And I don't know if that's because there's a restriction involved, like you're not supposed to eat something, but
yeah. So like, I want to build a vegan plate. Like what, why did you build this plate the way you did?
How I build a vegan dinner, it always starts with vegetables. So like, what are the veggies that we're going to eat? Right. And multiple veggies usually, but let's say You know, let's just say that we're going to have Brussels sprouts and asparagus. So I might pick two veggies. And then I'm like, okay, sometimes I'll have fruit with dinner if it's like, because I don't care about eating fruit at night and like sugar. It's natural sugar. So like if we have a salad, I might add like fresh blueberries. But then I'm going to think about, okay, well, what about, am I going to do a grain? If I do, it's usually quinoa first over like a rice, because quinoa has like a perfect protein and it just goes into your body differently. I don't know if I could name 50 vegetables. That's funny. So, you know, there might be a grain of some sort, or maybe it's a potato or a sweet potato or like a Yukon root. You guys, if you go to the produce section of the grocery store, there's so much that we never touch, right? Like your go-to is like broccoli, asparagus, maybe Brussels sprouts, because, you know, cauliflower is getting a glow up.
Eggplant.
You know, but yeah, but you don't grab, like you don't probably grab the, you know, parsnips, or you don't grab, you know, like there's
beets.
The endives or the beets. You know, there's just so much that you don't grab. I think when it comes to being vegan, I think focus less on recipes in the beginning, or if you're going to do a meatless Monday, and just put a bunch of really colorful real food on your plate. Put some rice, put some beans, put some, you know, whatever your favorite vegetable is right now, put some broccoli. Like you don't have to do tempeh. You don't have to do tofu. Like you could be really full off of, you know, a lot of vegetables. And we do love like a really great kale salad. Like take kale and then I just pile whatever on there. Like avocado, like beans, berries, like pumpkin seeds. I love toasted pumpkin seeds in a salad or on top of a salad for crunch.
Intermittent fasting, I don't consider to be a diet plan, but do you follow a nutrition plan or do you?
No.
But you do fast.
I fast. And if you've been following my husband and I for a while, then you know that also like twice a year, we'll do a 3-day water fast. And yes, that means just water. And there's a lot of great benefits from that. You can look up the word autophagy, but basically what happens like in those 3 days is, you know, cells that are damaged go away and then you replace them with like new, better cells. But that you should not do if you're not ready for them. Of course, you should always consult a doctor. But we kind of really believe in intermittent fasting. And I don't set a clock. I don't set a timer. But it's basically like if this is it's different now because, you know, dancing twice a day. But in my normal life, if I finish my last meal at 6 p.m., bare minimum, I'm probably not eating till 10. And it's usually more closer to noon. And that's not because I'm like, oh, the intermittent fasting clock said. There are often times where I go sooner. But to be fair, I love working out in a fasted state. I cannot work out like on a full stomach. I feel sharp. I feel crisp. I'm just not hungry in the morning. And here's what's interesting. My youngest daughter is the same. And I don't force her to eat when she goes to school. So she does not eat until lunchtime. She's just not ready for it. And, you know, we have such a misconception that you have to eat first thing in the morning. And if that's what your body is telling you, cool. But for me, my body says, nope, don't need it. And so typically we eat, you know, our first meal is usually a shake. And then, you know, we may have like a second meal and then our dinner, or sometimes it's a shake and one big meal. But we make sure that we get really nutrient dense food and lots of it. Because what you don't want to do as an intermittent faster is if you're going to do two meals a day, you don't want to under consume calories. So, but as far as following a meal plan, I do not. I am fortunate enough now that I have learned over the years what feels good in my body, what does not feel good in my body. And so I don't count calories. I don't count macros. And again, I'm not saying that any of this is wrong. I think that everyone should do what feels good for them, but I eat until I'm full. And, you know, I eat when I'm hungry, I stop when I'm not, basically, or however that's supposed to be said. And I really count macros means like fat, carbs, and protein. So people will track like, okay, I'm supposed to have like this ratio of protein. For me, eating was never meant to be a job. And if I like peel back and you read any books or you think about like ancestors or what life was like pre-industrialization, like you would just eat what was provided. You would hunt or gather, or you would eat food, and then you would work it off by doing whatever it is. So for me, I don't want to get so tied to like, oh my, so my sister-in-law actually was in the Max 30 test group years ago, lost a butt ton of weight. It was great. She looked amazing. And while it was good for her in that moment, you know what it did though after? She got obsessed with food to the point where like it was almost crippling. Like it had to be the exact right portions. And, you know, like it started to play with her mind. So I think that for some people, counting macros or counting calories or following a meal plan can be really good. And I think for others, it is far more damaging than it is helpful because it creates an unhealthy relationship with what you put on your plate. And I don't ever look at it as like I ate bad or I did something wrong. It's like I want to think about, like, you guys, every Tuesday, I missed it yesterday, but every Tuesday my husband and I do Taco Tuesday. There's this place in Vegas called Tacotarian, and so we go get their vegan tacos, and I eat a butt ton of chips and salsa, like love it. Every Sunday we do Toast Party Sunday, which is this place where they do like these, you know, vegan toasts. And I don't look at it as like that's my cheat day, or it's just like these are the choices of food I'm eating today. And on the other days, like I'm gonna eat kale and asparagus and whatever because it feels good in my body. And my wish, honestly, for the world is that everybody could get to a place where they ate food because it made them feel good and didn't eat the food that didn't make them feel good. But let's be honest, you guys, the food industry and the health and fitness industry is like one of the biggest industries there is. And there is no money in you guys losing that attachment to counting calories and all of that. Again, not telling you that, you know, I want you to do what works for you. But I do think that some of that can be very damaging if you're not in a really good place in your world. And I just never wanted to be the kind of person that had to measure, count, weigh everything that I ate. But I also have a lot of food sensitivities. So I know that I can't eat, you know, anything with wheat or gluten, I will break out in a major like rash. It'll show up immediately on my skin. So for me, it's also like there's no food out there that is worth me not feeling good.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the most important things, and just to reiterate, is food dependency. Mm-hmm. You know how you say it's like, I'm connected to eating at this time. I'm connected to eating this. So you were talking about your sister-in-law, and I remember the Max 30 mm-hmm. test groups. And I remember a lot of different test groups, and I would always be like that, like total emoji eye roll, because people would get more attached to what they were eating instead of like how they were feeling.
And the scale, because I think it's in those, back in the day, those test groups were so focused on the before and after that it was just, you know, and they were counting calories, that it was, you know, because at the end of the thing, you had your pictures taken and you could be potentially put in the infomercial, you know? So,
yeah. And so I remember that, because I remember changing the way I finished my classes. Like every class would end with like a complete, like that's for those of you who've been to my programs or to my live events and I speak at the end, it started because of the test groups, because I was just like, you have to be able to walk out of here feeling good about what you did, not about what you didn't do, and not about the attachment to the scale or attachment to I stuck to my meal plan that day. Because I feel like, you know, and a lot of people, and that's why I know, just kind of like people love counting calories, I know people like getting on a scale, but there is, for some people, and again, I'm speaking for me and my experience with a lot of people, there is the scale The scale translates to the food, which translates to deprivation, which translates to mental health. There is 100% a connection to that. And that's why I don't get on a scale. Like we have a scale in our house at home, and I think I get on it like once a month. And I think it's just because I don't even know why I do it. I don't do it because I look in the mirror and I don't feel bad. I think I just do it to be like, make sure I know that, you know.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's a reference point. Yeah. And right. And if you get to a healthy space where you can realize it's just information, it's literally your gravitational pull on the earth. It's one data point and that's it. And matter of fact, you know, so each scale is very different. So it's like, it's a benchmark. It's like, okay, I got on this scale. That does not define me. It doesn't make me who I am, but that's a reference point. And if over time it consistently, that one reference point, that data point keeps going up, then that could be a clue to you like, hey, maybe I need to change some things, but it's just one data point. So we actually do weigh ourselves daily, but we only do that for like, I don't know, it's just become part of habit. And I don't care. I can gain or lose 5 pounds in one day. I always joke, you're just one good poop away from your ideal weight, you know? So it's just like a data point, just like measurements are a data point.
Well, that's what I wanted to say really quick is that I hate when people ask me what my body fat percentage is because for me, school, you know, I mean, I majored in science. And so it was such a big thing. It's like, oh, and I remember the last time I cared about my body fat percentage was Asylum Volume 1. And that was like the worst thing that happened to me mentally. And that's when I started, you know, taking laxatives to try and look a certain way. And because it was like, people are expecting you to be that body. Oh, just thinking about it just gives me like, it just makes me so sad. But it's like, you know, and that's why for me, the scale equals food, equals deprivation, equals mental health. Like that's for me. I'm not saying this for everyone. A lot of people have complete control over all of that. And they do use it as those benchmarks. And it's incredibly amazing. But I know for a lot of people that I've trained in person, the thousands of people that I train, I would say a larger percentage, the scale did a detriment. And the reason why I know is because when they were no longer in person and they didn't have the accountability of the scale, you know, 3 months later, I remember walking down the street seeing people and they would like be dodging me because they gained 10 pounds. Yeah. And I'm like, but I never really cared about your weight. I cared about the fact that you pushed through and you were happy. And so it was the battle between the two of what I cared about and what, you know, whatever. But
there was a question earlier that asked me about supplements. I will say this, if you are going to be a vegan, you do need B12. That is something that you won't get in your food as a vegan. So we do supplement with B12 and we also supplement with DHA. Is that correct? DHA, algae DHA. So he's in charge of the supplements. He's the researcher of all the things. But yeah, most people, to be fair, should supplement. It is pretty impossible to get everything that you need from food alone, no matter how clean that you eat. But you only know that if you kind of go and get tested to see what you should supplement with. We do take vitamin C every morning, and we especially have been doing that during this time, like upping our dosage. And we do take vitamin D every day as well, because everybody should try to get outside in the natural sunlight. But we all know that that's always not possible. So we also supplement with vitamin D. So those are the things that are most important to us to supplement. The only other thing that we do is he's super into water. And so we actually now take like the seawater mineral every morning that, I know you're laughing because it's like, and we take hydrogen.
Do you get to do anything else?
I know. You should see my counter of all the supplements I brought. But you know what? I am the healthiest that I've been right now. And so I always give him a hard time first, though. I'm like, what? What supplement do I have to take now? And then I'm like, give me the research. Tell me why. I don't really care. I'm going to do it anyway. But it's so much more fun to like mess with him.
Speaking of like supplements and, you know, minerals or whatever. Mm-hmm. I have just a random question, a random poll for people. This is like silly, but And Tanya just kind of said it. She said, sometimes I put minerals in my water. But I don't know if anybody has noticed tonight, but like I do not drink until I'm completely finished eating. Mm. Like I don't drink anything unless I'm having a glass of wine at dinner and I'm, you know, there's a first meal course or whatever. But most of the time I do not drink the water. Now here's why. So about 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, we were in Hawaii and it was the first time I choked on food. And I just remember like I was eating my food so fast and I used to eat my food really fast and then I used to drink water to push it down and eat my food really fast and water. And so then I really tried to stop drinking water because I realized that I developed this habit my entire life of like eating fast, like always on the go, playing sports, this, that, like just constantly going and going. To now, like I have been able to really like get down my food, chew it really well so that like I earn my glass of water. So
years ago, and again, things may change. What was told to me was that as a human, your body is, if you chew your food correctly, your taste buds and your saliva glands, if you chew it effectively, they will produce the fluid that you need to digest the food correctly, and that you won't need water or any sort of beverage to ingest while you're eating. Because I don't know if this, I don't remember if this came from him or something I read online, that when you drink water while you're having food or drink something, you're actually not allowing your body to absorb the vitamins and minerals that it gets from food as much, because the water is moving it through the chain, if you will. But that I don't know necessarily. But what I thought was interesting is that if you actually sit and chew your food when you have it in your mouth, and like if you keep it in there and chew like 100 times, you will feel your salivary glands like exploding, if you will, because it's an interesting sensation to be like, oh, this is actually what my body is supposed to be doing. So that's why I'm like, oh, that makes sense that the doctor said what he said. So yeah, as far as drinking water or stuff like
I that. Also found it, I, you know, it could play a part in how much you eat too. I mean, obviously the type of foods, if you're eating fast food and if you're eating processed food and most food from a bag, you're gonna want more. Like there's, I don't know what the ingredient is. I remember talking to, having a conversation with the scientist at Bulletproof when she used to another very, I'm not allowed to say what, like very popular breakfast food, that breakfast treat that she used to make. But like, she's saying like, they put things in there. So you want more, you get those chips, you open those chips, they want you to finish that entire bag because they want you, and it really goes to your glands. Anyway, so I purposely wait until I finish eating before I enjoy my drink. And the result is some people say I drink during my meal. So I would just challenge you out there to try and eat an entire meal, slowly chew it up, and it may even aid in whether you go back for seconds or not.
Well, yeah, so Darren read one time. So, yes, everything that you said, according to Dr. Darren, is all very accurate. And so we normally don't drink until after either. And then he also read, like, I don't remember the number, but there's a certain amount of times, like, that you're supposed to chew per each bite.
30.
Yeah, and then, like, you're supposed to, like, then pause and, like take a big inhale and exhale. So yo, he tried that for like 2 days, and then like on day three I was like, listen, this is taking too long and it's super annoying to watch you like by count, because you know he's counting
of course.
Okay, and then go I was like, this could end our marriage if we keep up with this. I don't care, we're healthy enough, you can skip the breathing in and out in between.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, so the last thing I have, because we only have a couple minutes left and I want to get to some questions, but save your questions for the chat. You had the opportunity to visit a really good friend of mine, Drew Manning.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't know Drew Manning, he has an Instagram page called Fit to Fat to Fit. And he actually had a TV show out where, because of, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, he was a trainer, super lean, gained 70 pounds, and then lost it again with, you know, to see what his clients went through. And so he's doing something called Fit to Fat to 40 this time, because he's about to turn 40, and he gained 40?
I don't know. He gained a lot.
In like 3 months, he gained, and now he's, now week 24, he's down to 218 pounds. But anyway, you had the opportunity to go to him, because one of the things that he's doing is interesting, and I would go follow his page, because it's just interesting what he's doing. I wouldn't do it. You know, it's really cool to see him, like, you know, be on different diet plans and things and nutrition plans. But you had the opportunity to help him with eating vegan while gaining weight, right?
Yeah. So he's awesome. Been friends with him for a while. And when he decided to do this, he asked me to help him gain weight doing vegan, dirty vegan, essentially all the mistakes, like how the most unhealthy way that you can eat vegan. So essentially, like, drinking soda, like all the carbs, like all the Beyond Meats, all the processed foods, just like no vegetables. Like, it's like one day when my daughter, when she first went to college, she's like, Mom, I think I'm going to be a vegan. And I'm like, okay. I was like, you understand that means you have to eat vegetables, not just like bread, pasta, and chips. And she's like, oh. So basically, you know, we helped him do that. And then now, actually, so next week, this week he's doing paleo. Next week he's doing next week he's doing keto. And then the week after, I created a 7-day meal plan for him. And he will be eating vegan the right way. I'm not like saying the right
the
way,
healthier but
the
way.
Healthier way.
Yeah.
And you know, so because it is true, you can, vegan doesn't mean healthy. Gluten-free doesn't mean healthy. You can do any of these methodologies of eating incorrectly or in an unhealthy way, or you can do them, you know, correctly in a healthy way. So, you know, on his dirty vegan week, I mean, it was just like a lot of like processed food.
So basically, is it's staying away from meat, eating more dirty vegan.
Yeah.
Staying away from meat, eating more carbs, drinking soda. It's just like you're like not eating.
You're not eating animal product, but you're also not necessarily eating like healthy food, right? Just because you remove animal product, like when we were paleo, we ate meat, but we were eating healthy still, right? We were eating grass fed and like doing our best to make sure that like there was no chemicals or processing in our food. Like a burger at McDonald's is a burger from McDonald's. No differently than a Beyond Meat, you guys, is still an overly processed, like lots of chemicals, et cetera. It just isn't made by animal product. And that's honestly why.
What about In-N-Out Burger?
Well, when we were meat eaters, we ate an In-N-Out burger. If you were going to eat
their
french fries are made potatoes only, just potatoes and fries.
We're doing right, guys.
But yeah, so now on his clean vegan week, it's just like, and I tried to actually make it kind of keto for Drew, because Drew tends to, if you do follow him, he's a very like keto being kind of like a high fat, you know, medium protein,
yeah,
low
keto
carb.
Heavy.
So I was able to make him like a very like almost keto friendly vegan diet, because I didn't want him to also have too many, you know, carbs. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens. But the coolest thing of the experiment with him is, one, he wants people to have empathy. That's his main goal of this, is just to have empathy for others. But also, two, to kind of highlight these I'll say methodologies instead of diets, these methodologies of eating. And it's like, just because you choose to be keto doesn't mean you're healthy. Just because you choose to be vegan, vegetarian, paleo, you know, whatever the fuckitarian, you know, like it doesn't matter. Like there's a healthy and an unhealthy way to eat.
I will say, closing out, that I think his book is called Complete Keto.
Yes.
So if you want to check it out, I mean, he's super smart. And there's all these, like, one of the things that I don't like is like, oh, I don't like keto and this is better than that. Like you can pick apart anything. Like there's a way to do it. But I also believe that, you know, I want to provide you all. I mean, a lot of you have read Eat Smarter, or if you haven't, from Shawn Stevenson. The Food Babe has a book. There's a lot of like stuff around her. But I, you know, I want you guys to educate yourself and, you know, kind of just like go check these people out of their books because it's really cool. Okay, let's get to whatever the fuckitarian. Yeah. Everyone loves that. That's a shirt.
So I want you to remember first and foremost that everything has protein, okay? So if you were to, whatever you ate throughout your day, kale, broccoli, asparagus, berries, literally everything has protein in it. By the time the day was through, you would have more than enough protein. So that's the first thing I want you to remember. Number two is, for example, like with Shakeology, I get 19 grams of protein in that, right? Like, so I'm also getting protein in my, while it's more than just a protein shake, I am getting protein in that shake. Y'all, peanut butter has protein. I mean, who doesn't love a good spoonful of peanut butter spoons, obviously, you know, but then, you know, so first, remember that all vegetables have protein. Then, you know, a shake of some sort can be great. Hemp seeds, you guys, a spoonful of hemp seeds in anything, especially blended in a shake or on top of a salad. Hemp seeds have a ton of protein. So, you don't like peanut butter, Nikki? We're just going to talk about that later. I cannot. But hemp seeds are a great source of protein. Quinoa is one of the best sources of protein. And then obviously beans, chickpeas, lentils. Yes, all of that has. So, you know, some people are different on how their booty kazoo reacts to beans. But chickpeas, lentils, mung beans, all of those things are. So again, don't freak out about where am I going to get protein. You're going to get it as long as you're eating very colorful diet full of lots of just amazing food. You're going to get enough protein.
All right, thank you. Next question. What are your recommendations for spicy/cooking tofu, or do you not really eat?
Okay. So we maybe eat tofu like once a week, like not, it's not something that we do a lot and probably even less than that. But when we do, any Friends fans out there, do. Anyway, when we do tofu, we typically, I like to typically like scramble it so it looks like, you know, like what would be like meat or eggs or whatever. And I love getting a taco seasoning packet, Siete Foods, which makes the best chips on the planet, okay? They just came out with a churro chip,
I saw it in the store.
And they taste like churros. Like Darren can eat a whole bag.
I didn't buy it because I wondered.
See,
but now I will.
Darren can eat a whole bag.
Yeah.
Of which is probably not healthy.
It's really like one serving. No, it's okay. So, but Siete has a great taco seasoning. So I love to just open up a taco seasoning packet. And then toss that in there, right? And that to me makes tofu so amazing. And then, you know, you can put it like make a taco salad. You can do, you know, we love to do tacos in Napa cabbage. So great. Also, Siete does have like a great tortilla, but we love using Napa cabbage. It's a perfect shell for tacos. So for me, that's usually 100% of the way. The only other way I might do tofu is with like oregano, basil, like all the spices that you would use for like Italian style food, and then do it in a sauce like over a pasta. One of my girlfriends, her name is Diane Sanfilippo. She also is in the she has a cookbook, started with Practical Paleo, and then she did a keto cookbook. But she has her own range of spices called Balanced Bites. Spices. And so she has blends. She has an Italian blend, a taco blend, a like every blend you can think of. And so those are usually the only spices I use. So you can check her out. She's great.
All right. Our last and final question, which I kind of like a lot. It says, I'm paleo, but I respect vegans so much. I tried for a year, but it did not work for my body. and my metabolism. I'm curious, is your veganism more related to nutrition or animal protection?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it started as just nutrition. And then it kind of migrated into, so even when I was not a vegan, I do not believe in the way we industrialize and farm currently. So I did believe in like grass-fed, responsibly raised, wild, etc. However, as a vegan, it started for nutrition and health reasons. And now we believe if I already own it, it's a sunk cost, meaning like I already own it. So that those animals, you know, whatever, like I'm not getting rid of a pair of shoes that I have because I already own them. But as we've been moving forward in our life, we do purchase more consciously now. So all my beauty products now are vegan. All our household products are vegan. And even everything from our furniture, anything new that we purchase, we are purchasing with that in mind. Do not ever watch how they get wool. That really changed our, we were looking at something and it had wool in it and we're like, oh, but they don't kill the animal, so it should be fine. And then we watched something that showed you how they did it. And so here's the deal. Again, everybody's different, right? And so I can't tell you what's right for you, what's right for me. My kind of instinct now is I'm never going to be the person who looks at anyone like, please own a leather purse if you want it, like rock that jacket. Like that's you. But now like I did get a vegan leather jacket. So it look, you know, it's not made of actual like leather. And, you know, I gave my real one to my daughter because I'm like, I already have it. So someone should have it. I'm just more conscious moving forward because now that I'm aware, my whole deal is like, if you don't know, then you don't know. You don't know what you don't know until you know it. But now that I'm aware and my eyes are open to it, I'd like to do my small part. It's kind of like how we are, you know, with Tesla. It's interesting. My husband was like, I know we're only one small family, but it's important to me that like we do our part. So that's what, those are the things that are important to us. And so, yeah.
Our next dinner will be, we don't know when it'll be. We hope that you utilize some of the things you learned tonight, just to, you know, a little bit healthier. You know, I'm not a fitness bully and I'm not a nutrition bully. And everyone, one of my biggest pet peeves that happened this past year with the pandemic was that everyone became an expert in health and they bullied people and they forgot that they too had a journey to get to where they went to, whether it was like they had a journey to become educated about what they know. They had a journey to lose the weight. Some people just aren't always ready. You know, somebody could follow me for like 3 years and they just might not be ready, but like I'm helping, or Danielle, whomever, everybody here could be just kind of helping them inch along until they want to pull the trigger. So, you know, if you come on here and you're like, oh, you know, I really want to eat healthy, and that's what you walk away with, great, as long as you show up and you do your part. But I mean, the homework is to actually, you know, you said Meatless Monday. If you're like, I eat unhealthy 4 days a week and I want to eat healthier three more, let's try to get 2 days in this week, right? It's just always about progress. And, you know, we're fighting against the food companies out there. So we got you in the fitness and food and education department, and I hope you keep coming back for more. But I will be having my donuts and wine on Friday. So I'll see you then.
Bye.